your favorite musicians, exclusive interviews, local artists, all on the Life Songs podcast.
Thank you for joining us on Life Songs Zoom today. We've got Ellie Holcomb with us. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you, Josh.
New album, Canyon, is out. It is awesome. Holy cow.
It's so exciting. Honestly, I don't think I've ever been more excited to send a whole record out into the wild.
It is so alive, like every ounce of this record. That kind of rubs up against the whole idea of a canyon too, because you think of desolate and dusty, but it's not. It's incredible. Where did this come from? Where did this raw, joyous, powerful album come from?
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I've been on a journey, like a counseling journey. I have been learning to do is allowed myself to grieve and lament. It's not my personality. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. Nobody like loves pain, I don't think, but 7s, our main motivation is to not feel anything sad or hard. And so as I did that, I encountered the places that I thought would kill me, you know, to visit. I actually encountered the kindness and the nearness and the empathy of God. And so the places that I thought were going to kill me actually were the places as I went and just let myself breathe and grieve. I started coming alive and I started feeling healing in the places that I have always felt like death to me. And I'm like, that's what God's in the business of doing. I know that, but I've been too scared to do it. March 3rd, 2020 hits, EF4 tornado, tears through Nashville, right behind my house, woke up to the house shaking, scariest night of my life. I know y'all know storms in New Orleans. I know that you do. And so that was wild. And then a week after that, the safer at home restrictions, COVID-19. And so that our year that we all just had, we all know it. I'm like, we don't have to talk about it that much, but it was racial tension, political tension and division. So many people lost on loss on loss, trauma on trauma. And so in the midst of all of that, I was able to grieve. I learned to grieve personally, and then I learned to kind of grieve on a global level. And I was encountering the love of God there too. So fast forward to when the numbers were lower in August. I was supposed to go on a cruise. My brother and sister-in-law were gonna come. They have 3 kids. They hadn't gotten away in 10 years. We all had childcare. And my husband was like, we are still going somewhere. And so he was like, what can we do that's like, I don't know, COVID friendly. So we went camping in the Grand Canyon. So we camped on the Northern Rim, went down into the canyon, rafted the river, camped on the riverbanks and rafted out. And I will never forget it because our guide was telling us that the canyon walls kind of tell this story. And it's really a story of disaster upon disaster upon disaster. Just like you said, Josh, like canyon, you think of desolate, like desert kind of dry place. And, you know, it's like landslide, mudslide, volcano, earthquake. And then there's this huge divide. And I was just down there looking up going, this looks like a picture of what all of our hearts look like, especially after this past year. Loss on loss, trauma on trauma, pain on ache on pain on ache. And then the division part as well. But there in the very pit of the canyon, there was a river running through. And I had this realization, I'm like, this is the gospel. Because as it turns out, there is a current of living water, a current of God's love that runs deeper than our deepest ache or sorrow or pain. And that really will carry us when it feels like we can't carry on any longer if we'll only let it. I feel like for most of my life, I've been like clinging to the canyon walls. I'm like, no, I can't fall down. But if you let go, I think of my kids in swim lessons, let go, arms open, face to the sun, heart open wide, and breathe. I think my hope, I think it sounds maybe triumphant because I learned that I could A, lament first and grieve first, but encountering the tenderness of God and the presence of God, that current of love that carried me even in my most broken place, gave me this courage to not only lament, but to rejoice almost in a triumphant way. Like I was like, oh, he's good down here too. What? Yeah. And so I came out of literally the canyon and I shoved a pile of 35 songs off of my desk and wrote this record. But there's a river running through. I'm a canyon. I'm a canyon. There's a river.
We're talking to Ellie Holcomb this morning and about her new album, Canyon. I Don't Want to Miss It is racing up our charts. We all love this song. My favorite part of the song is probably, you hear this a lot, your insane chuckle at the end of it. Like, you're just like so joyful that it just comes out in this cackle and it's hilarious.
Yes. Yep.
The song is so good. What's the story behind that particular song?
I got to write that with one of my favorite artists, Thad Cockrell. He was just on Jimmy Fallon, the first artist that was on Jimmy Fallon post-COVID. Jimmy Fallon heard his song in the hardware shop and ended up putting it on. So he is amazing. And then Kason Cooley, my producer, I don't know, maybe last year, there was so much quiet, forced quiet and slow. Actually, the most Googled search was, are the birds louder? Which
we have all felt that feeling, even if we couldn't have typed it into Google.
Right. I was like, oh my, I literally thought the same thing because there's even less traffic on the roads. Anyway, so much, in the same sense, so much noise, like this constant feed of social media, of strangers hating strangers in the comment sections on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I just thought, man, there is so much noise here. And the thing that I actually want to turn up, this is grounded in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst. So very much this idea of he's here wherever you are. He's mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And I'm like, listen, if God is singing over me, I'm like, that is the song that I wanna like crank up full volume. That's what I wanna be listening to. And so I think what I wanted to do in that song was do two things. Turn up the volume on the song of love that God sings over every beating human heart. And then two, I love that God knew that we would forget who he is and how he loves us. And so I feel like he says that the heavens declare the glory of God. So if the heavens are declaring the glory of God, how's the chorus go? You know, and so I wanted to turn up the volume of the song that creation sings about the love and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And then there's the bridge in there, which is one of my favorite parts, which is talks about breathing. I breathe and I love you. And I think I've always thought of this verse as God just loves you and he's singing over you. But when you look at it, it's he will rejoice over you with gladness. So when we are on our A game, like he's like, that's my kid. See, I made him to do that. Look at him go. And then when we are at our worst, there's that part where he quiets us with his love. Like, yeah. like a parent would hold a child and sing over them at night when they had a bad dream, when they're scared, when they're afraid and they don't feel brave at all. And so there is this both and experience that I wanted to write about and I Don't Want to Miss It of God. It's the full spectrum. John 10:10. I came to give you life and life to the full. And I always interpreted that as full life, adventure, beauty. And that is part of it. But as I get older, I've encountered the fullness of God, the fullness of his love, of his mercy, of his grace, of his empathy, in the full spectrum of what it means to be human, which is both joy and beauty that like bursts your heart wide open and deep pain and brokenness and sorrow. And I think I've gotten to a point, even though I hate pain, nobody wants it there, that I don't feel afraid of that anymore.
It's real challenging when so much of the Bible deals with lamentation, deals with sorrow, deals with heartache, because nobody wants to feel those things. But that's a more universal truth even than happiness, I think.
Oh, man, Josh. That's the thing we have in common. I mean, we're all born. We all die one day, you know. And then one day, you know, death isn't the end, thank God, you know. But we all break.
Yeah.
It is there. And as it turns out, so did God. He was broken. He let his son, Jesus, break for us so we could know that even in these broken places, we're not alone. But you're right. Suffering and sorrow are universal language, and it's not the one that we love to speak about. And yeah. I don't know why. I don't know if you have a thought on this, but for some reason in the church, especially, or at least I have not been good at lamenting, at grieving. And it is, there's a whole book called Lamentations in the Bible. So many Psalms do not end tidy with a bow. You know, it's like, and I love that. I do think that God can handle our questions. He can handle our doubt. That's why he came. He knew that we would make a mess of things down here. And so I'm grateful. I'm just grateful that there is this. And I love that you mentioned laughter, Josh, because I think we can laugh with deep relief.
Yeah.
Because as it turns out, we are the object of God's affection, even in our most broken place. And like, he's the one who started the relationship. Like, he's like, oh, we should do this. Like, I made this because I want to be in relationship with you. And I'm not leaving. I'm never going anywhere. And he's committed to seeing it through. And so I guess my hope for the song, I Don't Want to Miss It, is that it would, you know how when you dance as a little kid, did you ever do this, Josh, where you're like, I don't know, like dancing like crazy to music, and like parent or a grandparent, somebody's watching you just with this big broad smile over their face, just watching you be free.
Yeah.
That's what I hope that song and the whole record will do, that it just invites people into the freedom of breathing in the fact that they are God's beloved.
Ellie Holcomb's new album, Canyons, is out. So Ellie, your family is permanently intertwined with music. Your dad's in the industry, your husband's in the industry. You have three children. Are they already musical? Are they playing like 13 different instruments?
They are. You know what? My little girl is playing guitar and she is loving it. And we have a box. Well, it's really a basket of, this is kind of a weird thing to keep in your living room, but we literally have a basket of percussion, little guitars, tambourines, shakers. It's like what
no one watching this right now is surprised by that being what's in your living room.
Yeah, by that at all. I know. And we actually took it downstairs for the listening party that we did at our house. And my little boy Rivers the other day was like, Mom, where's my toys? Where's my noise? Is what he said. Where's my noise?
That's awesome.
So we play a lot of music. We do a lot of dance parties like families do. It's such a beautiful way. I would also test songs on my kids to see, okay, does this song inspire dancing in the kitchen? Like, that's, I'm like, I hope this inspires epic kitchen dance parties is my hope for these songs. So yeah, we do sing a lot, and we'll never push them to do that, but they're expressing, as they express interest, we will. Huck actually, and Rivers will go sit with Emmylou when she does her guitar lessons at her house. So I have a picture of Riv holding his tiny little guitar, standing outside the window on the screen porch, like, I want to go too. So I have a feeling we're headed there for them pretty soon.
Yeah, the Holcomb family band is definitely going to happen in the coming decade.
Yes, so. For sure. So we've got Emmylou, Huck, and Rivers, 8.5, 5, and 2.
Okay.
And Rivers is our joy tornado who loves toilets. Toilets and noise, that kid.
Yeah.
He is, we have found him standing in the toilet many a time. So.
Oh, standing in it. Okay.
Yep. He loves water. We named him Rivers. It's really our fault. He loves the water. And so.
You should have named him Money.
Cash.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great Nashville name, by the way. Your children's books are incredible. During COVID, during the peak of the pandemic, we were reading stories to kids via Zoom and YouTube and Facebook videos. Your books were the favorites.
Oh.
How did you get into writing children's stories?
I love that. Golly, thank you for even doing that. I love life songs. Y'all are amazing. But that is so beautiful. That's what we need, is we're wired for story. We're wired for it. So I wrote the first, I never thought that I would write a book. I'd actually been approached by the publishing company that ended up publishing the book 2 years prior. They were like, do you want to write books for children? And I'm like, no. But thank you for thinking that I would be good at that, you know, like, but no. But my little girl, Emmylou, when she was 4, she was walking past me in the kitchen one day. And I love kids. They always have so many questions, like questions on questions. I usually love that. There are some days that I'm like, I don't know. I'm very thankful for Siri or Alexa, you know, they're like, Alexa, why is the sky blue again? I know I learned that in science, but I forgot. So she asks in passing one day,
blue because the molecules of the atmosphere scatter blue light more.
Alexa's answering you.
Oh my goodness, Alexa just answered me. Okay, yep. That is amazing. So
they're always listening.
They're always listening. I'm like, I didn't even know there was that thing in here. She came by and she said, Mom, who sang the first song? And I was like, that is a great question. Wow. It just was one of those that kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I actually didn't know how to answer it. And so I did what sometimes as a parent you do with your kid when they when they're asking a question that you don't know, I just turn it back around on them. Amy Lou, that is a great question. Who do you think sang the first song? And she shrugged her little four-year-old shoulder. She goes, Dolly Parton. I laughed so hard, and I said, babe, that is a great answer. We're a Tennessee family. She sends us books every month with her imagination library.
Oh yeah, my kids have that too.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was like, let me go do some research. And so I ended up with Sally Lloyd-Jones has this amazing Jesus Storybook Bible. Are you familiar with this at all? I think no. I've actually sent it to Libby for her little boy.
For Gus.
But it talks about how when God created the world, he sang it into being. He sang the earth into being. And I just thought, man, that is such, what a powerful illustration. And so I called Sally. I said, is this like scripturally based, or is that just like a beautiful metaphor that God gave you? And she said, actually, it's a Tim Keller sermon. And he talks about how when God made the earth, Genesis 1, you know, is our creation story. People say it contrasts with Genesis 2, but really it's just the Genesis chapter 1 is written in the form of an archaic Hebrew poem. Mm-hmm. Genesis 2 is more of an account. And so he's like, so why would God, it literally, there's a cadence and a rhythm, and then there was morning and then there was evening. I just thought, man, how beautiful is that? So it is as if God was singing the earth into being. And Tim Keller said, we always talk about how God made the earth, but I want to know why. And why would God sing the earth into being? Because I believe he made every single human and creation itself to sing the song of his goodness back to him.
Have you ever read C.S. Lewis's The Magician's Nephew?
Just finished it.
I love that. It's my favorite C.S. Lewis book of all time because it deals with that like singing creation kind of idea. It's really great.
Literally, we're on The Horse and His Boy now, but we just finished Magician's Nephew. And a couple of people have said that to me. And I think I must have read that as a little kid, but they were like, oh, did you write that because of Aslan? And I was like, no, I forgot. But maybe that was lodged somewhere deep within me. So.
I mean, if you're going to create something that reminds people of some of the greatest works of fiction in the history of the world, then that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good, right? I was like, oh yay, I'm so glad that made you think of that. And it's actually why I started reading Chronicles of Narnia with my kids again, because so many people had said that. I was like, oh, I'm gonna read it. And it was so fun when we read the part about Aslan singing. They were like, Mom, it's like your book. And I'm like, well, this came first, but yes.
I remember the first time you arrived, your tiny hand in mine. How could
you owe me an apology? I made the mistake of watching the video for your song Mine. You and Drew recorded this video. I was not prepared going in. My kids are 11 and 7, and I was a crying, snotty mess. I'm sitting at my desk just weeping. It was awful. Why would you do that to anybody? Like, why would you?
I did it to myself first, if that makes you feel any better. I played that song for Drew, and he is not a crier. He's an 8 on the Enneagram. He's like eyes of steel. They just barely ever leak. And I mean, so it was so funny seeing him even sing through that. He had to go like gather himself in the studio. He was just like, oh. And we released it on one of those days that feels like it was the season of the end of the school year. People say parenting, like the days are slow, but the years are fast. Or is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it. You feel the fastness when you're taking when you're just like picking them up of their last day of school for that year. A lot of people do the pictures, first day of school, last day of school. And we accidentally released it that week. And everybody was like, what the heck? My kid just graduated from eighth grade, from kindergarten, from high school, from college. And they're like, you're killing me. So I apologize. I really do, sincerely.
It is an absolutely beautiful song. I love that Drew sang with you on it because seeing the mom and dad just sing, it's really emotional, but in the best way. We're not talking like Nicholas Sparks cheap tears here. We're talking about real, like, you love your kids so stinking much kind of tears.
Yeah. And I think for me, as I'm singing that to them, so often I'm reminded that, like, before I am a mom, before I am an adult with a job, with responsibilities, I am, like, we are God's kids. We're his daughter, we're his son, and this is how he feels about us. And I did not write that song for that purpose, if that makes any sense. I really was just writing a song for my kids. But then as I sing it, I'll be like, well, this is how God feels about me too. So I'm grateful. So thank you for your kind words. We had so much fun. I will say about that video, it is edited, right? So, like, you know, there were so many, like, legitimately sweet moments. And our old nanny became a photographer. And I was like, she is the person to film this because she knows our kids so well and knows us. And so they're really comfortable with her. But and there were some sweet moments. But there's also moments where we're like, here's some M&Ms if you, you know, sit still on the porch for 5 more minutes, you know. So, and, you know, my 2-year-old saying the POOP word, which he draws, he's obsessed with that right now. So
is that Rivers? Is he the one who's obsessed with the toilet too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It's all connected.
Slow down, just breathe and lean right into me. Before I held you, I knew I loved you. Before I saw you, I was sold out for you. I was writing lullabies before I ever.
Canyons is out. It's amazing. You've got children's books available to check out. You've got a lot going on. But what's next? Like, what do you have looking forward to in the future?
We throw a music festival every fall in Chattanooga. It's called Moon River Music Festival. It is so much fun. So that's coming up. Touring, I'm going to be on the road with Lauren Daigle for 3 dates. August 19th, I'm playing the Ryman Auditorium. So shows are starting to come back. My husband and I will be on the road in February. And then I've got a couple of books that I'm working on. One for children, one for actually adults, which I swore I would never do. I never thought I would do it, but I love how all of that's turning out. So there's good work ahead. And for today, I'm just leaning into our hashtag of the day, which is Yes I Canyon. Which is actual name of a nail polish color that Essie just released, but we're borrowing it for today.
Well, Ellie, thank you for taking time to chat with us. Your album is awesome, your song is awesome, you are awesome, and we love you very much here in New Orleans. Come anytime.
Thank you. I will. I can't wait to see you guys again, and I'm grateful for what you do at Life Songs. So great to hang with you, Josh.
Your favorite musicians, exclusive interviews, local artists, all on the Life Songs podcast.
Hey, y'all, I'm Ellie Holcomb, and I just want to say thank you for the way that you support Life Songs and the beautiful work that they do. They send out hope across airwaves every single day. Thank you for linking arms with them. Thank you for giving from your heart. It means the world. Press on. It matters.